The views and opinions expressed by John and DJ do not reflect those of any intelligent or rational human being and are solely the property of the Brightside Chat.
This show is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show.
Good morning, comic book fans. It's Monday, March 23rd. This morning we have our regularly scheduled programming. Be John and I talking Bloodshot. If you follow me on Twitter, you probably have already guessed that I enjoyed this movie, but we don't know what John thought of it yet. And I couldn't wait to find out. I was actually nervous. You'll hear that. But we deep dive into this movie, then we go off on tangents. If you're wondering what oil prices are around the world, you'll learn that. Where to find hand sanitizer. How's your toilet paper shopping going? We go all over the place. Because that's the way the world is right now. Because, you know, we're talking comics, but the world is going on and these are real life things. So it's going to seep into our conversation. But let's have some fun. Head into the store and hang out a little bit. Because, you know what? It seems like we can't do that anymore right now. So hopefully this will help a little bit. Hey, John, how are we doing?
I'm doing great, man. How are you?
Doing all right. Doing all right. Business is still good here, I see.
Still good. Still good.
Still going strong?
I still have access to my building, so.
Yeah. Well, it's funny. At the time of this, maybe you don't by the time this airs.
Right. If I look into the future, I might not have access anymore.
Right. Exactly. Oh, let's not get into that. Let's just have a fun talk about anything but...
Yeah, if you want to hear our take on...
I don't even remember what it was. Let's not
even talk
about it.
If you
want to
hear our take on the...
Language!
Go back to Thursday.
Oh, you said the word. The V word.
The V word. I mean, I can say other V words, but you'll bleep them out, so...
Oh, you George Carlin now?
You can bleep that one out, too, I guess. No, they'll never know.
Oh, that's a good idea. All right, it's gone.
All right.
Hey, that cover last week, the Francisco Martin... That's... I can't remember... colorful Francisco Martina like that.
Yeah.
Usually yeah. They're more black and white. And this, yeah, I mean, this it's still monochromatic, but that purple is really, really sharp.
Yeah.
Really
sharp. Cool. It's a really cool Harley cover, too.
Yeah, that's really nice. Anything else exciting going on?
No, I'm not allowed to say anything, so I guess not.
Yeah, so, well, that just goes to show what this world has come to.
I know, right? Well, these days...
So, you want to just get into it? We'll start talking Bloodshot, the last great movie I saw in 2020. Last great movie of 2020, seen yep. in the theaters. Yeah, it was the last movie for you.
Yeah, I saw it Sunday, and then by Tuesday, I think,
everything was
the theaters
down.
Were closed. Yeah, so.
Yeah, yeah, so I was, like I said last week, I saw it on Thursday opening night, and then I saw it Tuesday night, right, and... When we left, the doors were closed because I saw the 7:30 show and they were closing at 8:00. So
right.
It was sadly the last movie so far this year. But
so far, well, and the last one for at least the foreseeable future. So this is what we're going to have to live on for a while.
yep. So let's enjoy this trailer, and then we will we'll get into it and we'll see where we stand.
All right.
We are leading the way in the greatest human advancement of all time. He's unlike anything we've seen before. And he's entirely in our control.
Commencing memory fabrication.
And initiate sequence.
What happened?
You got yourself killed.
You have been given a second chance.
I've developed an army of soldiers like yourself.
Welcome to the circus.
The technology in your veins will make you faster, stronger, and heal you instantly.
Something doesn't feel right.
They've been manipulating you.
Set the next target for elimination.
You are my weapon.
You made me, but you can't control me forever.
They'll come for you.
I'm looking forward to it.
All right. Inquiring minds want to know. I don't know. If I had to guess, I don't know. It could go either way with me. I don't know what frame of mind you were in when you saw this movie. I know you had texted me when you were there.
Well, you know my thoughts kind of going into it, right? Like this.
Yeah,
was not,
you weren't.
This
a big
wasn't
fan.
Really
you,
high you on my radar. Right. And honestly,
I'm hoping
I
that
saw
helped.
This. I saw this only for two reasons. One, because I knew we had to record and talk about it, and then two, because as I said before, I'm going to support comic book movies regardless.
Right.
So even though it's not a property that I'm super invested in, you know, I was going to go see it anyway. So I had no expectations. But I was pleasantly surprised. I actually really enjoyed the movie quite a bit.
Nice!
Yeah, I did like it. Again, I don't know if that's because I had no expectations. But
when you come in with zero, yeah. All right, it's only place to go is up.
But all I could think is, like, what a shame about what's happening around this movie, because this is a better movie than it's going to get credit for, and it's not going to get really the recognition that it deserves. Because I think in another time, a lot more people would go see this movie. I think word of mouth would spread a little bit and people would probably go and see it. But they're obviously not going to get the opportunity now. I mean, it's going to go to digital.
It'll go to digital. Do
and
you
people,
think
will
it can
pay,
get
people will pay for there. It on digital.
Yeah.
But to me, digital, I liken digital to Netflix. And yeah. Like, I don't have to pay to watch a movie on Netflix, so am I going to, like, spend the money to watch Bloodshot when I could just go to Netflix and watch any other movie for free? And I think I think that's what might hurt it a little bit.
Well, let's help the cause out here, and we'll do spoiler-free for a while, and we'll try to pump it up. And my first question in that vein would be, what price would you say is worth it for you to rent this? Because I don't know what the prices are going to be. Because the studios are probably going to try to recoup some money.
What
so
I
it's
heard,
probably not going to be a $4.99 rent.
No, what I heard is that these things were going to go $19.99, that they were going to be basically $20 rentals.
Okay.
But I think, I think that's going to scare people off. Because at $20, I better own it. I don't want to rent it for $20. I better own it for that price.
But
because
you're going to have to wait for that, right?
Because it's going to come out for sale at $20 digitally. So right. I wouldn't pay 20. I mean, is that an outrageous price? I don't think so, because I mean, I paid $20 to go see it at the theater,
right.
But I don't think people are going to pay $20 for a digital rental. I think, that's too much, but that's what I heard thrown about for all of these movies that are kind of facing the same situation. Because like you said, the theaters need to recoup some money.
The studios. Theaters aren't going to get
well,
anything.
Well, that's true.
The studios
need to recoup some of their losses. Because I don't know what this movie cost to make, and clearly we've demonstrated we are not good judges of that. But this was not.
Let's not guess. I'll go right to it here.
But I was going to say this wasn't a cheap movie. Like there was a lot of effects here, so this was probably pretty expensive.
If you had to guess,
if I had to guess, $110 million.
$45 million.
Really?
$45 million.
That's why we're not. That's why we're not good at guessing these things. But
that's why I was like so happy to have you guess.
But this feels like a more expensive movie than that. Like this was a lot of CGI, and there was a lot of effects in this movie. So
you want to hear something funny? Because literally came out on Thursday.
Yeah,
and theaters were shut down on Tuesday. So opening weekend, $9,176,695.
Right.
Gross, $9,937,349. So it made like another, well, it made almost another 100 million.
100,000.
Yeah. 100,000. No, not 100 million. Yeah. Another 100,000 just over like Monday and Tuesday.
Yeah.
Domestic.
But
worldwide, it's made 24.
Okay,
so
24 million. But I still have a hard time seeing it recouping even the last 21 million on digital. Like, I don't know that it's going to get there.
Right.
And like I said, that's a shame, because I think this is a movie, like, it was never going to do $1 billion, but I mean, this could have done
well,
150,
if I read the math, it might.
You know, this could have done 150 million, you know, 180
right.
million, somewhere around there, and, you know, would have easily made a profit, but it's not going to, like I said, it's just not going to get that opportunity. And they're definitely not going to re-release it you know, when all said and done, because that would probably end up costing them more money than anything. So,
right. It's, well, that, and it's going to run into your bigger box office stuff.
Exactly.
Summertime.
Because now they're going to have Wonder Woman and Black Widow coming back around and James Bond coming back
around. But I will say, I think after seeing this Thursday, obviously we didn't know theaters were going to be closed.
Right.
By the weekend, I was actually thinking maybe we could record our podcast and get it out early, because I wanted to get word of mouth of this out, but I wasn't sure how you felt about it. I think word of mouth would have helped this movie, where it did 9 million opening weekend in on a weekend where the world was basically being shut down.
Word of mouth would have helped it. Word of mouth would have helped this movie in normal times. I don't think any amount of good press was going to help it this week, regardless, because people were just not going to risk going to the theater. Like, I almost didn't go. Like, I really hesitated to go to the theater on Sunday, because again, you know,
you texted me, you're risking your life for this podcast.
We had been told to distance ourselves. But when I looked at the pre-sales to buy my tickets and I saw that there were only 3 other seats sold, I was like, well, I'll take my chances. And
that's a good place to distance yourself.
Yeah. Right. I couldn't be any farther away from people if I stayed home.
Right.
I mean.
Actually, my house is more crowded than that.
Yeah, I was going to say, there was.
I had 3 people. There's 4 people in my house.
There was more space in the theater than there was anywhere else. Definitely more space than the restaurant I was sitting in while I was buying my tickets. So, but yeah, I just think regardless of how good of a movie it was, you know, it just wasn't going to get, it wasn't going to get a fair shake this weekend.
No, but under normal circumstances, I think it does more than 9 million on opening weekend.
Yes, but and probably then, not 45 million.
No, not on opening weekend.
This probably would have opened in the 15 million.
15 to 20.
Yeah, range.
I would guess. And then I think word of mouth would have kept it strong enough through the next few weeks that it definitely, like you said, it would have done maybe over 100 million, 150 million, made its money back.
I think it would have had traction through most of April, and then in May, Black Widow was going to come out, and then this thing would have died.
Yeah. Definitely, I think this is far better than Hellboy from last year at this time. Hellboy came out in, what, the April?
Somewhere. I don't know. I still
haven't
seen that
movie. One of the weeks in April. Yeah. This is, I thought this was, I mean, it's a Vin Diesel movie. You can make all the jokes you want about his acting and Vin Diesel. I thought in this movie he was really good. I thought some of his better acting was in this movie.
Well,
some of his humor was like.
I felt like I was still just watching Vin Diesel, though, through the entire movie, you know.
Oh, yeah. No. I'm not saying Academy Award winner.
Right.
Here. I'm saying, but, you know, like, I didn't feel like he was as stiff as he has been in other
things.
Well,
it was definitely more than I Am Groot. You know,
actually, I did lean over to Joe at one point. Went, I am Groot.
Yeah.
No, but I thought some of the humor he had, some of the sarcasm he had going. There was one line. Actually, there were a few lines we'll get that I thought were really funny. The action I thought was good. What did you think of the story? Now, I'm not a huge Bloodshot fan myself.
Right.
I read enough. And when I say I read enough, as I wanted to know the background of the character. I know if you want to know a lot about Bloodshot, go listen to the guys. I haven't listened to their podcast yet because I wanted to do ours first. And I didn't want to be tainted by their knowledge and what they talk about. But if you go on Nerdy Legion, there's a Valiant podcast and this is a Valiant book. So they really, I imagine they really delve into this.
Right.
Really, you know, the character and everything. But what did you think of the overall story? I really liked it.
I really liked it too.
I saw the movie twice.
And
it was like, it's really good the second time.
I've read a grand total of 1 Bloodshot comic ever, and it's the one you told me to read back when we did our mini review of that one book. But I do know that this character was recently rebooted.
Yes.
And this is the version that we saw. Like, the rebooted version is who was in the movie. So it's definitely more the current continuity than, like, say, the older Bloodshot.
Yeah. Yeah, the new one where they're on number 7 now.
Yeah. But I literally had nothing to base it on because, like,
that's
I said,
a decent story.
I don't know the character or the story very well.
Right.
So I had no, like I said, I had no expectations on origin or power. Like, I really didn't, I just took it all at face value because I didn't have anything to compare it to. I don't want to say too much because we're not in spoilers, but actually, I'll wait. Ask me about the story again when we're talking about it.
Yeah.
Because,
but did you like the story?
But I did like it, yes. I liked it overall. I thought it, yeah, I thought it was a lot of fun. It was a fun movie, you know?
It is, I'm telling you, if you haven't seen this movie yet, I'm telling you, it's even better the second time. You'll understand. There's a few things, and we'll get into it in spoilers. I'm sure you went through the same thing. I'm not sure, though. But I remember when I saw it the second time with my son, there were a couple of key scenes there. I was like, really pay attention here.
Yeah.
I'm like, this is really big because it's going to pay off later. And for a comic book movie that has, like you said, low expectations, I thought the story was really good. I thought it was really well done, very intriguing, and a lot more depth than I expected. And I was looking forward to this movie.
Yeah, yeah. Now you were a little bit higher on it than I was, but yeah, it surprised me. I wasn't expecting it to like it as much as I did. And honestly, when I got finished watching it, my thought was that I couldn't wait to get it home and watch it, you know, in Atmos 4K.
Yes, me too. It's both theaters that I saw it in. I'm very much looking forward to seeing this at home. I'll probably grab the digital because, like you said, I want to support these things.
Yeah.
Obviously, I don't need to support Disney, but I bought the digital of Rise of Skywalker that came out early.
Oh, did you? See, I didn't buy it because I know it's coming at the end of the month.
I pre-bought it back when we saw the movie, and I forgot I pre-bought it. So when it came out, I got a notification on my phone. You now have Rise of Skywalker. I'm like, I do?
Sweet.
And that's why I tweeted it out, and I felt bad because then people were tweeting afterwards, not at me, but I saw other people, Rise of Skywalker now available. I was like, oh, see, I didn't want to put that out that it was available. I didn't know why I got it.
Right. You thought you were getting special.
Maybe it was just one of those, if you special ordered it, you got it early, and I didn't want to put that out.
It's because of my AV podcast. That's why I got it.
Right. Yeah. I know. But yeah, so I was knee deep in that and I had a blast with that the other night. But anyways, yeah.
I did have an epiphany the other day that disappointed me a little bit. Cause, you know, we've talked a couple of times about how we've pre-ordered the 27 disc box set for this. And we were like speculating on what all those extra discs would be. Well, 9 of them are just the 1080p version of the movie.
Yeah, we knew that.
I didn't. I was thinking that that I was going to get 2 discs worth of extras through the whole thing. And I was like, no, we're not.
You and I had the conversation. We said it was like 27 discs. And we said we broke it down to 18 movies. So 18 discs to get your 9 movies.
Maybe I forgot that.
And then we have all the rest are extras.
I thought I had this big epiphany the other day, and I'm like, oh man, 9 of them are just going to be the 1080p version.
That wasn't your that wasn't an epiphany. That was your memory coming back of a conversation we had. You just I know you mix those up sometimes.
I am 50, so
I know.
You know.
You've reminded us.
Yeah.
I'm getting there, John. Don't worry.
I know you're slowly
almost
there.
Slowly but surely, if we survive this week.
No, that's
I
true,
didn't
right?
Say the word. If I didn't want to say the word.
If we survive the apocalypse, we'll be
back to the movie, though. I thought the special effects were better than I was expecting them to be.
Yeah. Well, that's why, I thought it was a more expensive movie than it was.
Yeah.
Because the effects looked great. Like,
yeah.
It felt like it really felt like an expensive movie.
Maybe they saved money on the budget of the, cast?
Well, I was going to say, you know, because Endgame was $200 million, and I was going to say, well, this, the effects look just as good, but they didn't have to pay 18 actors, you know,
right.
$3 million a piece for this movie. So I guess that makes a difference.
And Vin Diesel was in both of those.
That's true.
So, what did you think of how do you say it? Isa Gonzalez?
Yeah, I thought she was good. This is the first thing I remember ever seeing her in. Like, I'm sure she's been in other things, but.
And she's a looker.
Yeah, she is. Yeah.
Yes. Yes.
Definitely wasn't hard on the eyes.
Nope. Academy Award nominee for maybe costume designer?
Yeah.
She had some nice costumes.
She sure did. Especially the pool scene.
Yeah. Ankle weights. Very important there.
Yeah. Now, I saw an article the other day that she was the other front runner for Catwoman in the Matt Reeves movie. And ultimately, it went to Zoe Kravitz. I mean, I could have seen her as Catwoman too. I think she would have done a good job.
Absolutely, yeah.
Not to take away from Zoe Kravitz, because I think she'll do a good job too. But I was like, well, that would have been good either way. So,
well, I'm looking forward to her future projects.
Yeah.
And Guy Pearce.
Yeah.
I thought he was great. We'll get into it in spoilers, but typical role.
Yeah.
I think you know what I mean.
Yeah. Well, and he's always good. Like, you know, yes. he's always, he's a great supporting actor. Like, he's great in everything he's in, but he's not really like the leading man type of actor. Yeah. But he's always great in every part that he plays like that. And he always kind of plays that same.
Yeah, we'll get into it in spoilers because there were some similarities here in another role that he may have played.
Yeah.
Not may have, he did play. but we'll get more specific.
But yeah, later. I like him, and he did a really good job.
Yeah. And another guy that I thought, I don't really know him from a lot of other things, Lamorne Morris. He played Wilfred.
Wilfred, yeah. I liked him. He was great.
He was hysterical.
Yeah.
It's funny because, we could say this in spoiler free, but a lot of his stuff was like alone. So you got to imagine they shot all of his scenes. Like, all right, we're going to have you come in and we're going to work with you for a couple of days all by yourself.
He just shot them all together.
Shoot these scenes. And they're hysterical.
Yeah.
They're like, I mean, some of them, they actually lean into that, him being alone and stuff. And it was like, I thought he was really, really good.
I just kept thinking that whole scene where he's eating the noodles. It's like, where can I get me some noodles like that? Because those look awesome. I was like,
I even
leaned over to Lydia and I was like, those noodles look great, man. Yeah. Where can I get some of those? So,
yeah, at one point he picks them up. Ooh, still warm.
Yeah. If anybody knows where they came from, you know, tweet us at the Brightside Chat.
Same place as that thing we're going through right now.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Last question. Spoiler free. Do you want a Bloodshot 2?
I'd definitely go see it. Like, I know Vin Diesel had a comment right before the movie came out that, like, this could be the launch of the Valiant universe, basically, in the movies.
That'd be cool.
Like, I didn't see anything in this movie that particularly would spin it off into any of the other Valiant characters, but, you know, it was definitely open for a sequel, and again, I just am so afraid that they're going to look at this movie as such an underperformer that it may not get a sequel. And I know it's not, you know, people will realize that it's not the movie's fault, but, you know, at the end of the day, the dollars are still the dollars. You know, they have to be able to justify a sequel.
Right. But, so here's the thing. The dollars are the dollars, but what if this has a strong digital following? It has a strong physical media following. And basically becomes, through no fault of its own, like, or through an unforeseen event, it becomes like this cult following.
Right.
And under normal circumstances, it wouldn't be a cult following. It probably would have developed into a point of like, look, if we can make if Valiant can make a movie for under $50 million and develop their characters and develop a mini MCU universe.
Right.
Per se, why not?
It just depends on what kind of following it gets. Because I would liken that back to like Alita Battle Angel, which has like a huge cult following and so many people clamoring for a sequel, but the dollars don't support it, so they're probably not going to make it. Alita,
a small, rabid, passionate fan.
Alita
base,
was probably a much more expensive movie to make than Bloodshot was, but it would have to find a really big following, or Sony would just have to be willing to take the chance and say, look, we took the chance on the first one and, you know, it kind of bit us a little bit through no fault of our own. So we're going to treat the second one like the first one and take a shot at it, especially if they want to build a Valiant verse. You know, it depends on where they want to go from here. Because again, you could say Universal wanted to build their monster verse and The Mummy did poorly, so they scrapped all the plans for that. So, who knows?
Yeah. I looked up Alita.
I know you did. I could see you doing it, and I saw your face. No, what was it?
$170 million,
yeah. Well, yeah. I knew it was more expensive, but I didn't realize it was going to be that much more expensive.
But that's the thing. I think that's going to help it being at $45 million, and And I do think that it's going to get a break. It's going to get a little bit of a break.
They're going to grade it on the curve.
Exactly.
You know?
And that's why I think, like, I mean, and I'm not trying to tout our podcast or anything, but it's stuff like this. Talking about it is going to help it.
Right.
And the more digital it gets, you know, downloads it gets.
I mean, if all of our 8 listeners go download the digital, at least that's another $160, you know?
Well, I know I'm very, very much looking forward to it. In
$180.
There you go. Right.
So I was counting you and our 8 listeners, actually. So
right. Well, I usually listen to us twice a week to pump up those numbers. So that's on top of listening to us back before I put it out.
Right.
Make sure you didn't slip in a swear or something.
I try, but
I know,
I can't get them under you.
No. Nope. So, all right. I lied. One last question, spoiler free. Where do you rank this in the Valiant movies?
Oh, it has to be number one without a doubt. and the last at the same time.
It's dead last. I was going to say, whatever you came up with, I was going with the opposite. Yeah. I was like, well, I have it dead last. Yeah. So there you go. We can argue over that in spoilers.
That's right.
All right. Why don't we lock the door? We'll get into spoilers and see you on the other side. All right. All locked up?
Yep.
All right. Well, you've only seen it once. I saw it. I was going to say the first time you saw this. So true bright side fashion. Let's start jumping all around. The first time I saw this, I was like, so you have your opening scene and you have the bad guy do his bad guy dance in the cooler.
Yeah.
Right. He comes down to the music and he's this badass, you know, bad guy, typical comic book bad guy movie. It's like tough guy, blah, 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 singing, kills the girl, kills him. As you're like, I'm in. And now, you know, Bloodshot comes to, we're going back and now he's going to get his vengeance on him. And I'm sitting here watching this guy that he's going after, the bad guy in the back of the limo, cowering like this little wimp. And I'm like, I'm sitting here watching it going,
it's like, where's the socks and the sandals guy from the beginning?
What happened? I thought you were a badass. Yeah. Why are you cowering in the back? And right there, and this is why I think this movie is so great. It's so much fun because it had me. I was pissed. I was like, this is dumb. Do they even know what they wrote in the first part of the movie? And then you're like, when you get to the reveal, you're like, I'm an idiot.
Well, that's, that's what I was going to say when you asked me about the story. I was going to do the exact same thing as you just did. Like, the first iteration through, I was like, give me a break. I was like, this is the stupidest thing. It's like, the movie's already over. Like, he's already killed the bad guy, right? I'm like, and then you get to the reveal. And yeah, they had me too. I was going to say the exact same thing.
How cool is it? I said to Joe after we saw it, cause I wanted him, cause a lot of times you're not paying, and Joe was on his phone, he was texting somebody, he's got a lot of stuff going on with school, he's getting stuff, information and everything, right? So he's on his phone and I tap him, I go, pay attention to this part.
Right.
Because you're not expecting the big reveal
one
third of the way through the movie.
Right. Right.
When was the last time you got that? Cause usually that happens and you're like, yay, and then we wrap it up and go home.
Right.
And it's like, they did it one third of the way through the movie and it was still super entertaining the rest of the way because and they didn't waste any time by redoing the scenes over.
No,
they
just
super fast through
right.
to give you the taste and show you a few key things. But it was like, but that first time through, and then the rest of the movie, you got snippets of realizing, one, we don't even know how he died.
Right.
We still don't.
Right. And we don't know how many times this has happened. Like, we come into the middle of the
story. We have an idea, but we don't know.
Right. When we meet him, he's already done this at least 5 other times, you know?
And he's been gone for 5 years.
Right.
We do know that. His wife has seen him 5 years ago.
Right.
Now has 2 kids. But there is so much to it. And then all of the story, you don't know. That entire memory, that entire opening scene is fake. Even to the part where the guy that has the arms ends up as Doc Ock at the end, right? And he has that one arm and it has the bolt that comes out of it and he puts it through Bloodshot's shoulder. But when he shows it and it goes ching and he goes, that was my idea. And that's just a callback to what was that weapon that they, the air compressed bolt that they put through the woman's head?
Yeah.
You know, like Joe even said that watching the movie. He goes, what was that thing?
Yeah.
I go, it's just an air compressor. It's, you know, it's a pneumatic press for all intents and purposes, and it goes into her head. But you're like, who would do that? And then it's like one of the last scenes of the movie. It was an idea.
Right.
You know, it was just an idea by one of the guys in the lab. And you're like, this is so cool.
Yeah.
And it's like, and I loved when Guy Pearce is like, no more ideas of you. You're so cliche. And he's like, and it's like the entire like meat closet or meat locker with the music and they're in the bad 80s music or whatever.
Right.
It's like that whole thing where he's like, oh, okay.
You mentioned how he hadn't seen the wife in 5 years. But I was thinking that they actually must have had a moment because she didn't like make any effort to explain to him, hey, you know what? We haven't seen each other for 5 years. And it's almost like they had a breakup or something. Yeah. And he just doesn't remember it.
Right.
But because I was thinking, like, why isn't she like trying to help him figure out what's going on? Because he clearly didn't know what was going on. And it was like they must have broken up or had a separation
because she
wasn't even really that happy to see him after 5 years of being gone or whatever.
Well, she
was
happy to see him, but she's like, why are you here?
Right.
And he's like, I'm home. And she's like, no, you're
right.
not.
But she was like, you should know this. You know, it was kind of like she expected him to know. But when she realized that he didn't know, it's like she didn't make any effort to really help the guy out. And I was kind of thinking that there must have been more to that that we'll just never know, you know, in that story.
But that wasn't, I think that, like, that's not the story. That's, like, just a side thing that
shows you,
like, this has been a, like, his life has been.
Right.
We don't know what his life has been for 5 years.
Yeah,
that's what I'm saying.
That's
really cool. And it's like,
they could have been broken
up. Memory of
maybe they only ever went on two dates. You know, who knows? Like, it could have not even been a whole thing, you know?
I think they were married. I do think that.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, but I think it leaned into what it was. Like, it's like, oh, people are going to downplay this movie, and we're just going to hit them with this. And they're going to, like, every cliche at the beginning, and people, their expectations are going to go down, and it's like, I wonder if this had like a wider release, like a more opportunity to be released. I wonder if people would have been like, this is dumb and walked out.
Well, yeah, because
you would have been like,
even going back to the first time through, it's like when he's talking with Isaac Gonzalez, whatever her character name was, I don't remember. TK
KT.
Or KT? KT.
KT.
When he's Katie talking with her, KT, and they're getting drinks at the little bar. And then, like, the music comes on, and I'm like, this is so freaking cheesy. It's like,
right.
Like, the music comes on, and he's instantly figured it out. Like, they should have dragged this out longer, you know? And I'm, like, cursing to myself, and I'm like, this is so stupid. And
I love it.
Yeah, it's like, you know, in another world, I might have got up and walked out of that thing, you know?
Right. I love it, because I was thinking that when I was watching it, yeah. And I'm like, oh, my God, John's going to – I don't know. Is he going to be upset at this? I'm like, because it was cheesy, and you're like, what the heck? But then once you find out what it is, and you're like, oh,
they've,
I'm such a sucker.
Yeah, they led
it's
you like, down that. It was, like, perfectly done, actually. Oh. You know, again, this is not like a masterpiece or anything, but it was like expertly done to where
almost,
like you didn't really see it coming, you know?
It was
like they were purposely
like,
making you mad.
typical Vin Diesel movie. Yeah. The opening scene where they're like, hold, he's like, I'm breaching now. And they're like, hold, copy that, going in.
Right.
And you're like, oh, typical Vin Diesel movie. He's got to go in, save the guy, blah, 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 and everything. And the entire thing is, yes, it was typical. It was all cliche on purpose.
Because I was even thinking when I was watching that, I'm like, how old is this? Like, nobody has a phone like that anymore. It's like,
yeah.
Who has phones like that in their place anymore, you know? And then it's like, oh, what am I going to call him on? And the guy looks over. I was like, this is so freaking cheesy, you know?
Yep.
But
And it reeled you in. It reeled you in, and it's like, when that music played and he danced down the meat locker,
yeah.
I was like, are you kidding
this
me?
This is like diehard 1980s bad guy, you know?
What is this? I'm like, what is going on? And then But then when they back it up, and then they put in another bad guy, and you're like, oh, man.
Yeah.
I'm like, not only is this movie, not only did they play him, but they're playing me.
Right.
They had me. It's like, and like this whole movie is based on vengeance of like, you know, Vin Diesel's character, like Bloodshot's vengeance and what, and it's like, they had me.
Right.
And now I'm angry.
Right. Now I want my vengeance, damn it.
Yeah. I was like, oh, I just thought it was so much fun. I can't, can you actually think of another movie that, that did something like this? Off the, I can't think of one off the top of my head.
Not so early on. Like, there's definitely movies that had me and then completely switched at the end. You know, like,
right.
Sixth Sense or something like that, where, you know, you don't see it coming and it completely changes things, but not 30 minutes into the movie where it completely turns on a dime. I can't think of anything that's really done that either.
Yeah.
I get, well, the closest example I can think of now is, which it still was more like halfway through the movie, is Dusk Till Dawn. You know, the because like the first time I saw that, I had no idea it was a vampire movie. So it's like you're just watching this cool movie about Seth and whatever, you know, going around killing people. And then all of a sudden Salma Hayek looks down and bites his face off. And I'm like, what is going on here?
It's like, I love Clooney and you've had, you know, Harvey Keitel and that whole thing going on. And you're thinking it's this big, that's a great example. Yeah. A great example. Oh man, I wouldn't have come up with that off the top of my head, but just like you said, the first time you see that movie,
I'm just like, what? Like what?
I didn't know it was that.
I had no idea it was a vampire movie, you know?
Yeah.
And then, you know, the title should have told you, right? From Dusk Till Dawn, but. You know, you just think it's a Tarantino movie. You know, what does Pulp Fiction mean? You know, so it's like.
Right. Exactly.
You know, exactly. So. Yeah. So, yeah, that's the closest thing I could think of that really did that. But even that, like, it's not like I watched the first half of that movie and I was mad because it was so cheesy.
No, because the first half was good.
It just completely changed what type of movie it was. And this one was not. So this was a little different, but you know, a little the same too, I guess, but.
It's the same, and there was a switcheroo,
right?
A big
because it did kind of
early
become,
on in the movie.
It became kind of a completely different kind of movie after that.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah. One thing I will say though is I would have liked to seen a little more development out of like KT's character to show. I'm not trying to put you on the spot and say like, oh, this is where you'd be like, that was a quick flip. Because they showed it coming all along, a little bit all along. I would have liked to have seen a little bit more reasoning why she flipped. You know, like, because she obviously went along with it.
Yeah, but she went along with it like five or six times. So why did it all of a sudden bother her on the seventh?
Right.
Time?
Right.
In the and same vein, I would have wanted to see some more. Like, what's with all the animosity with the Outlander guy? You know, the Doc Ock guy. Like, why,
right.
Where did all that come from? You know, it's like, you don't really know why hates him so much either, you know?
I have a good reason for that. And here's a question. Where was the jump in tech? It seemed like we're going to get into a little bit of negativity here with the movie. Here's a kind of a flaw that I kind of noticed.
Right. They all look
they all had really poor tech, except for Ray Garrison got like the most advanced tech in the history of tech.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
the guy before has to back up into it. Yeah. They, exactly. The Borg or, you know, the blind guy's got that poor guy's got to put on.
He's got
like
his eyes down here and his nipples.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You couldn't have put it. You could, with the tech that's on Garrison, you couldn't have given this poor guy a pair of glasses.
Right.
That fit on his head.
You're right. There was a giant leap forward, you know, from one guy,
right.
From guy number four to guy number five, you know?
Exactly. Now, I loved her tech.
It's like our funding came through and, you know, we were able to really, you know.
Yeah, it's like, all right, we spent $1 million on you and we spent $1 billion on him.
Exactly.
It's like, hello? Like, what happened in the middle?
Yeah.
That was one of the things that...
Which I didn't really think about that till you just mentioned it. It never really occurred to me when I was watching it, but now that you say that, it's like...
Yeah.
Well, and then even like...
That's probably why it was only $45 million to make.
Right.
If they had the tech in the middle, it would have cost them... More.
Well, like, even the guy, like, again, because I don't remember the character names, and I call him the Outlander guy because he's on Outlander, but Doc Ock, whatever, right? He goes out and gets his leg smashed up on the road when they're doing the big motorcycle chase or whatever. He gets like his legs smashed up. And then the next scene you see him and he's got his legs, he's got new legs again. When did that surgery take place? You don't really see that. When did he get fixed?
Yeah.
Like they just have those legs laying around? Because again, why didn't he get Ray Garrison leg? Why didn't they give him nanites at that point? Why put the
For gosh sake, watch your language.
Legs back. I'm sorry. Why put the old crappy legs back on? You know, it's like when you have the new tech, you could give me an upgrade. So you're right. Maybe that's why he's so mad, because he's running around on these legs and doesn't have the nanite blood. So
that's what I mean. It's like, I think it was a little bit of jealousy there. And it's like they're all there for him.
Right.
Like, you know what I mean? It's like they're all brought in and it's like, we're going to work on this project and the project is him.
Right.
Not them, not their tech. I like that little nod, like when he comes in and he puts his piece of gum under the table and you see all the pieces of gum.
I was just going to say that too. He's like, you see all that gum and it's like, that's when, well, of course, that's our first real glimpse into something like that. This was happening over and over.
Right. And you see that the second time, like the second time you see it, there are hints like that, like when he tells him, he goes, I'll tell you everything at the end.
Right.
Does tell him, and he goes, I told you I'd tell you everything.
Right.
And he walks out, and it's like, you're gonna forget everything. And I think it looks like, now if maybe there's more of this in the comics, but they drain all the nanites and reprogram.
Yeah, I was trying to figure out exactly what that process was. They didn't really go into all the details on that, but you know, clearly, like, he had to be recharged, you know, with the nanites, and somehow they had
Looks to me like they're flushing the system.
Yeah, they had to flush
his
memory. Right, they had to flush the memory
out. And then
out.
They start fresh.
So yeah, that was a little wonky, you know, like they didn't really give you all the science there, but
at the end they show you that, remember the when he goes in for the last time and KT redoes the program, I believe, and then the pieces in his wrist, they come out.
Right.
So they never get to drain him.
Right.
So he doesn't go into that memory reprogramming, and that's why he's able to get up and he goes, you know, berserker mode. I just, maybe KT's thing is like, she just sees the progression. She thought it would progress differently, where, and then Guy Pearce's character has been like just total vengeance the whole time.
Right.
I got that a little bit from her. I just thought it was a little bit too ramped, too fast of a, like, all right, now I'm done.
Well, and then, you know, at the end of the day, like I said, I thought the movie and the story was really good, but at the end of the day, the motive was very pedestrian. Like, really, his whole motive was it wasn't even so much vengeance. Like, Guy Pearce's motive wasn't vengeance. He was just wiping out his competition. Because at the end of the day, he just wanted to make money. He wanted to sell this idea to the military and take full credit for it to make money. But how much money do you need? Like, if you have the money to make him in the first place, you don't need any more money. You know, it's like, why did you have to do any of this? Like, you could have just never done this whole program and just kept the money that you had, and you would have been fine. You know, you don't need any more. So I thought really at the end of the day, it's always just about greed, right? It was just about how to make more money, you know, selling this.
Well, it's that
selling this
college
tech to the government. But it wasn't even like he wanted to sell the tech to the government so like the military could be the most powerful, you know, could defeat the, because we're not in a war.
Yep.
It wasn't like, it was just money at the end of the day. Yeah. And you already had enough. Like, you didn't need any more. So,
well, it's just like the college admissions scandal.
Well,
the
true, right? Like, Lori Loughlin has plenty of money. She didn't need
the money, you know, they paid to get their kid into college. If they'd just given the money to the kid, he wouldn't have to go to college.
Exactly.
Or could have just, you know, like, what? Millions of dollars. Like, wait a minute. People go to college so they can get millions of dollars.
Right.
Not give millions of dollars so they can go to college.
Yeah.
You guys got this backwards.
Yeah. It's stupid.
But small little nitpicks on it.
Well, again, it's not
but
a perfect movie.
The overall,
you know,
story was so much fun.
But yeah, it
and
was
that,
fun.
That's just it. That reveal a third of the way through, just, it blows you away because if you're paying attention, like we said, you're just like, geez. Yeah. Oh, wait a minute.
Yeah.
So getting back to Wilfred Wiggins, though.
Yeah.
And his name, he's like, Wilfred Wiggins. He's like, that's like, didn't
it's
he
a
say
superhero,
like,
right. It's a superhero name.
Name.
It was pretty cool.
Yeah, he's like, that's my, he was so good.
Yeah.
He was, I thought his like him being alone and like he's in the bunker or he's in that trailer and he's always like just, you know, I'm talking to myself. It's like, I thought he was some really good, like, not that this needed comic relief, but he was good comic relief.
Well, I even like that whole thing where you kind of meet him and he's showing the other guy, like the guy, Vin Diesel, that Bloodshot's going to kill in that particular scene, you know, he's like ramping up the EMP and you know, and Wilford's the one that kind of set that up for him and showed him, you know, how to do it. But he said it so that, like, that guy wasn't going to make it. Like, he wasn't trying to save that guy at all, you know?
No.
He's like, I just wanted, you know, to save myself.
Right.
You know? But even that, I was like, how long is this going to take? Like, just press the button, you know? It's like...
Right. Well, the thing is, it was at 70%, 80%. As Vin Diesel's coming closer to you, I'd be like... Just push it at 90.
Right, exactly.
He's
like,
right there.
It's going to be good enough, right?
I'm like, all right, so it doesn't wipe out the entire town.
Right, I don't need the whole grid down. I just need the guy that's 3 feet in front of me, you know? Really, at about 8%, it probably was going to work, you know? And would have done a lot less damage, you know?
Right.
So,
but that's another one that I didn't see that part.
No, I didn't either. I was
Wilfred,
like,
was setting that whole thing up. And honestly, it wasn't until the second time that I saw it that he was explaining, like, oh, I just needed him to do this and this and this. I'm like, oh, so he had his own master plan.
Yeah, like I said, he knew that guy was going to die. He wasn't trying to save him at all.
But not only that, he knew this whole entire thing was going on, that, what is it, Guy Pearce's character, Dr. Emil.
Right.
Harding? Dr. Emil Harding, Dr. Harding, whatever. So Guy Pearce's character.
Right.
But he knew his motivation through the whole thing and how he was wiping out, what was it, RSD or something like that was the name of the company, I think, something like that.
It was basically anybody that ever worked on the project or had any knowledge of the project.
And he's like, okay, he's eventually going to come for him.
Right.
And when he does, I'm going to steal his tech.
Right.
Which is,
Bloodshot, yeah.
Right. And so he had an entire, like, master plan for the end part of the movie.
Right.
You know, that wasn't all like happenstance, like, oh, just the way I'm protecting myself. He actually was waiting for him to come in. Whether he was the first guy he got, probably would have been lucky for him.
Right.
For the other guys that died. The one thing I'll say is the Bloodshot character is like white.
Yes.
Right? Just like white.
Right.
Like a ghost. That's actually one of his aliases or something, like White Ghost or something. So that scene... I thought where the first time he killed somebody, where he killed a guy and they tipped over the flower truck.
Right.
I thought that was a nod to that. Like where Vin Diesel got covered in a little bit of flour.
Yeah. Well, it could have been.
So I thought that was like a nod to, okay, this is going to be a little different, but here we're going to give you, it's like, why else would you put a flower truck?
Well, but there were two other scenes in there where he went sort of gray, white. Almost white.
Yeah.
You know, when he was, like, overtaxing the nanites or whatever. And now, again...
And covered in smoke,
and
too.
That's kind of my ignorance of the character, because I don't know why the character is white in the comics. Like,
right,
there might be a reason for that. But I was expecting that by the end of this movie, he was going to be white. Like, I thought that was going to be a transition, that it never really... He didn't really get to that.
But right, you know, here at the Bright Side, we like all the white characters.
Yeah. Yeah, well, you know, but because then in the end, when it was sort of happening, I was like, okay, well, this is, you know, he's going to overtax and it's going to, you know, like I said, somehow he's going to turn white. But, and, you know, again, and he has the red in the comics, he has the red circle.
Right,
on
he has
his
the
chest,
red circle, right.
Which, again, you saw that throughout the movie at times, but it didn't.
Even on the little mouse.
But it didn't, yeah. But it didn't manifest fully, like. All the time. And I thought that by the end of the movie, he was going to look like the comic book character.
Right.
But again, they never really kind of explained what was going on there or why the character looks like
that.
Well,
I think that's going to be the difference, the movie to the comic book. And it's like, okay, here's a more realistic, you know, we're just going to have him being our real world and he's going to look like a person.
Well, but that's kind of like the X-Men movie where they decided to put them all in black leather because they didn't want to be comic accurate. It's like, we live in a world in 2020 where Endgame happened, and comic accurate is okay. So,
right.
Like,
now,
there's no reason why he shouldn't have resembled the comic character a little bit more. You know, I just thought that...
I didn't mind it. I didn't mind the change, and I thought that flower scene was kind of a nod to that.
Yeah.
It's just, that's all. But that mouse scene reminded me of one of the funny things that I thought Vin Diesel, when he's like, what did, like, Guy Pearce say? Like, he was talking about the development, and he's like, so we advanced it to here, and then from there, we wanted to develop to here. And he goes, well, of course you did.
Yeah.
Remember? It was like, yeah. It was like we wanted to take to the next level. I can't remember what it was.
Yeah,
exactly,
I don't remember. I don't remember exactly either, but.
How about even the song in the Meat Locker? Little on the Nose, Psycho Killer.
Yeah.
That was pretty funny.
It was funny,
but
I mean.
It makes it cheesy.
It makes it cheesy, but it also, like, obviously he chose that song, you know,
right.
As his intro music. So, I mean, it was cheesy, but, you know, like, I went with it, you know, I was like.
See, I didn't. No. I thought that was, when I first saw that, I was like, this is absolutely ridiculous.
Yeah.
I'm like, this is like, it's like a Bond villain on steroids.
Well, but
like,
that's the whole thing. Like, he was a comic villain. So that didn't bother me so much. Even the dance didn't really bother me so much.
I loved it the second time because I knew what was going on.
Right. But yeah, that, like I said, that part didn't bother me too much. It was really nothing bothered me until really the scene at the bar where the music played and he got his memory back,
yes.
Like so far. Because that's when it started to go downhill for me. I'm like, this is way too fast. Other than I was kind of going along with it. Like, you know, it's fine, you know.
It's funny because the first time I saw that, I'm like you, I was like, this is weird. Like, is he actually remembering stuff? Or are they playing the music through the speakers?
Right.
You know, or even some of the sounds, like some of the, like, even the second time, I couldn't tell if they were actually pumping in his memories through the speakers to trigger it even more. Because they played the song through the speakers to trigger his memory.
Well, I think, right, but I think that was a built-in trigger. Like, I think that part of the programming was that when he hears this music, it's going to unlock, like, this memory or that memory. So I think it was just the catalyst, you know, that was going to start the whole thing.
Even the details of, like, go fix his room, like, they make up the part of the wall that they know he's going to punch.
Right.
They're going to do, I mean, it's...
They had to go back.
The level of detail.
They didn't show it, but they would have had to go back and fix the punching bag and the column. Like, did he punch that column every time? Because, like,
I know.
Their part of the story was the same every time. But
it was like Groundhog Day.
But, like, that doesn't mean he was going to react the same every time. Like, this time he woke up and punched the column, but... Maybe next time he doesn't do that, you know, maybe
when
he
wakes
up
punching that column, my fists hurt. Like I've hit heavy bags and even with gloves on, like the space between your knuckles. Well, if you haven't hit a heavy bag in a while, it takes time to build it up.
Yeah.
And it'll split because your knuckles it'll rip. And it hurt. I mean, it hurt. Even with gloves on, you'd be like, you'll just start splitting those.
Right.
And he's punching that wall, and I'm going, oh. Yeah. And I've hit, like, if you're hitting the heavy bag, and it's swinging, and you go to make a punch, and your wrist isn't straight, and you'll roll the wrist, and you're like, son of a...
Yeah.
And I'm watching him, and I'm going, that's got to hurt. And then they showed his knuckles and it healing, and I was like, I don't care how fast that heals.
It still hurts,
hurt.
Right. Well, it's like they say, like, with Wolverine, with the claws coming out. It's like, just because
it heals,
it still hurts, you know?
Right.
Yeah, so... Like, getting shot still hurt. Like, when they blew half his face off and
was a cool
look. It looked cool, but, like, that still hurts. I don't care if it's growing back, you know? It was kind of like, you know, he kind of took it like a champ, you know?
Yeah. So. All right, here's another flaw. He gets shot in the street, and, like, his, like, T-1000... The blood and all his stuff comes right back to him. Like when he exploded at the end and all his parts were coming and then he couldn't control them in front of him and undo that thing. When he cut himself and put it in the glass and walked away, why didn't it try to go with him?
Yeah. I don't know.
Can you tell it to stay?
Maybe he was consciously commanding it to stay, right?
Stay.
Because you would imagine that each individual nanite, he's controlling them. So he's probably just saying... You guys stay here. I'll be right back.
And, you stay here. Do work with him.
Right.
That was pretty good too. When he's like, "So you want me to reverse engineer this by what?" Like,
right? And he's like, "Oh, I'll have it done by dinner."
That's your superpower. Yeah. Oh, right. I'll have it done by dinner. Yeah.
No, I did think it was kind of a little cheesy too. Like, they have all this tech. Like, he has the bed that resets his memory and heals him and sucks out all the like, there's all kinds of technology happening to make this guy tick, and like, he needs to be recharged and all these things that he requires. And then at the end of the movie, Wilford just kind of like reprograms him and undoes everything. But he did it in the back of an RV with right. like no technology,
but,
you know.
But they actually allude to that through the movie. Like, he's the absolute genius. And like, Guy Pearce says, why don't we have him?
Right.
Because his tech is already in Bloodshot.
Right.
Remember his coding? He goes, he's such a genius. What's his name there? The nerd working there.
Yeah.
Is like, he's so good. I used some of his open coding for this. You used his coding in my $1 billion project.
Right.
Like, so now he has a back door into it, right. and that's what enables to get in there. But he's the genius. He's smarter than.
Yeah. Well, obviously he was
RST
really
company.
Smart, but it's like, still, yeah. you can only do so much with a laptop and, you know, an
well,
RV.
It was a
you know.
Double-wheeled trailer.
True.
So, I mean, that's pretty extensive. They probably got propane,
It was
too.
A double-wide, you know.
I thought that blind guy met, like, a pretty crappy fate for the movie. Just fell off the building.
Yeah.
I told you to hold on.
Yeah.
That's what his buddy says that.
Yeah, well, and his like, buddy kind of killed him because he, like,
right.
jumps on the thing and says, oh, I told you to hold on.
Exactly. Like, I'm like... That was like, I'm like, oh, you couldn't have.
Because I kept waiting for him to turn, too, because
me too.
He was kind of on the fence through the whole thing. You know, like,
yeah.
he wasn't really on board with screwing over Bloodshot. But then when it came right down to it, like, he just didn't, like,
yeah.
he just kind of went with it. And all through
and
that movie, I was wanting to like that, you know, I kept wanting to like that guy, and then it just
yeah.
never happened. Like, it never materialized.
Yeah, you know. He wasn't bad, but he wasn't good.
Right.
He was just like, all right, I'll do what I'm told.
Right, I'm just going to go with it, you know? And it's like,
yeah.
if he dies, he dies, you know? It's like, I don't care. But,
right.
But yeah, they kind of was setting him up to where you thought he was going to, you know, at the end, he was going to come, you know, come to the other side and be
yeah.
a good guy, and it just never really happened, so.
That whole chase scene when he's on the motorcycle with the, you know, and he's seeing through the drones,
yeah.
which I thought that was cool.
It was cool.
That was a pretty cool feature. I thought that had, do you remember the G.I. Joe movies?
Yeah.
I thought it had a real feel to those G.I. Joe movies with, and they used nanotech in that movie too, in one of the Joe movies.
Right.
I thought it had a real feel of that G.I. Joe. I don't know if it was. It could have been the contrast of the the high contrast of the movie, a lot of darks and
yeah.
brights and stuff, but it looked like the G.I. Joe movie, which isn't a bad thing. I was entertained by those.
Yeah.
I actually like this more than the G.I. Joe movies, but
yeah.
maybe that was recency bias too, but.
Well, and then there was a scene that was like perfectly me when that was happening, like that chase scene, because like, you know, the guy with the eyes, he's riding the motorcycle and giving directions, and he's like, he's going south on this, and he's going north on this, and the guy goes, left or right?
Right.
And I was like, that's
exactly.
me, right? Because you tell me, you know, go south on this, and go, I was like, I don't know left, east from west, or north from south.
Right.
I was like, do I make
I
a right?
I don't know which way I'm going
right.
now.
Do I make a right or a left, you know? And I was like, well, that's me, because that's exactly what I would have said, too.
Right.
Then he's like,
that
make
great.
A left, then make another left, and then, you know.
That was good. That was one cool thing about the blind guy's tech, though, is that he could, I get it, he puts the harness on and his eyes are down around his nipples or whatever, but I still think they could have given him a set of glasses
right.
and still use the drones later on.
Right.
It's like, I didn't understand that. You know, I thought that was a little bit off. I did like that, like I said earlier, I like that woman's tech, that breathing apparatus.
Yeah, the,
so
kind of
can,
the rebreather. Because that was really
yeah.
cool with the underwater scene. You know,
the underwater yeah. scene, the like how she ended up getting Wilfred with the smoking and the
right.
toxic fumes. And like she, oh, speaking of that, when she goes to blow up RST lab, the databases.
That
and
was
all
a great
that,
scene. Yeah. He's
Wilfred's
like
you're going to have to go in and hit control.
Yeah.
Alt, and he goes, and now listen here. Very important. What I need you to do right here.
Yeah.
And she just blows it all up. And he goes, fine. Control Alt. Blow the building
yeah,
up.
That was pretty good. But the whole time that was happening, too, I kept thinking, He doesn't have a back, like, this is not in the cloud, you know? It's like, all right. This tech and, like, there's no backup for this. It's all on the, right. It's all on the servers, you know?
No kidding. Exactly. Cause it's like, I mean, just this podcast alone, how many times have I backed this thing up? Like, it's like, I got it's like, backup after backup.
I have the cloud and I'm broke, you know? So
that's all I have. Right.
But yeah, I was like, yeah, like you said, there's some holes in the, you know, it's not, it's not so a perfect movie, but it was just fun. You know, if you try to pick it apart, you can, but it's just a fun ride and it's definitely worth, like I said, I'm really looking forward to getting it home and watching it again.
Another Vin Diesel masterpiece.
Yeah.
I mean,
what's the other?
All right.
Triple X 3.
You can't say the guy doesn't try to entertain.
The Return of Xander Cage. Was that what his name is? Xander something.
I think, yeah. Well, he is part of the Fast and the Furious franchise.
That's true, but I don't watch any of those. I did watch Hobbs and Shaw finally this weekend. That's a topic for another day. I thought that was ridiculous. But
I don't remember that one.
Yeah, it was.
I think I saw that one.
That was ultra cheese. Like, it was so bad.
Yeah. Yeah, that didn't have no big reveal.
No, it was just cheese.
Well, that new one, that 9 or whatever, that's supposed to be coming out, where that Mustang.
I stopped it 2. Like, I watched the first 2 and that was, I haven't seen one since.
I enjoyed them.
I only watched Hobbs and Shaw because it was on HBO and I didn't have anything else to do.
Running out of content?
Yeah.
Yeah, you're going to be in tough shape then because everything's getting delayed.
I know, I burned through shows like crazy.
Toilet
paper.
Speaking of toilet paper, how you doing?
Well, I've got about 12 rolls at the house, so I'm in good shape.
It's so funny.
I know.
I ran into one of my neighbors in the store today, and I'm like, she's like, they don't have any toilet paper. I check every time I come in, and I laughed. I go, yeah, and how many rolls do you have at home? She goes, we're down to 10. Oh, I go, right, which would probably be a couple of weeks, right? And you're like, yeah, but you just want it because you know everybody's buying
exactly.
It. It's like you want to be able to walk out going, I'm set.
Well, the thing, you know, again, now we're going to get into talk that we said we weren't going to, but the thing that's ridiculous
is toilet paper talk.
It's just like, I just need regular supplies just because I need them. Right. Like, I'm not trying to hoard or stock up, but I do need stuff and like, I can't get anything that I need, you know?
Right.
It's like I just want some hand sanitizer for the store so I can put it on the counter. Good luck. I left my house. I went to 7 stores this morning before I went to work looking for hand sanitizer and.
Right.
Nothing, you know, and it's like, I just want to put it on the counter so people can come in and after they do the credit card machine, they can use some hand sanitizer.
Right.
Not like I want to hoard it. Like, I don't want to buy 50 bottles. I just want one bottle, you know.
BYOHS.
Yeah. But it's like, yeah, it's crazy.
No, I said, I went to the store today and Joe and I pull in and there were less people in the parking lot. And I was like, oh, good. It's getting less crowded. People must be running out of space at home for all this stuff. It's like, okay, we're stocked up till Christmas. Now what? So, I mean, it's going to subside.
Oh, it will, but it's crazy.
I had another buddy of mine that he tracks all of the stocks and oil and all that. And he said, looks like oil prices is going into the negative numbers.
Yeah.
And I said, wait. So are you saying they're going to pay me to get oil?
Right.
And he goes, no, not you, but the supplier of where you buy it, like the two people, you know, 2 levels away may end up getting credit to take oil because, I don't know, it's getting back, whatever it is, right? And I was like, oh, phew, I'll turn my oil, turn my heat off. I was actually cranking up the heat to make room for income.
Right.
So I got to burn off oil so I
can get some money.
Like, how does that work?
Well, I mean, gas is at a low. I don't know what it is up there, but we're seeing $1.70 a gallon right now.
Yeah, we're into the 90s. $1.90. First time under $2, and I can't remember when. Oil was going down. I track oil. I've been tracking it for 3 years.
Oh, yeah.
In a program that I do, I check my place. It's even before all of this oil was, what are we getting into oil?
Yeah, I don't know why. I don't know how we got here, honestly.
Bright side oil.
We were talking about toilet paper. Now we're talking about stocks and oil.
Oil.
And the price
of
gas.
We're bringing it all to you at the bright side. We need this crisis to be over.
What's the price of tea in China? I don't know. It's like.
But yeah, no, oil was coming down anyways.
Yeah.
But okay, enough of that. So. What are you paying for a gallon of gas? Let us know at Twitter at @brightside_chat. I'll probably get a bunch of tweets.
Probably.
$1.19. And I'm like, what are they talking
Where are
about?
You? I'm moving there. $1.19.
I know.
Well, the funny thing is gas is getting so cheap, but we can't go anywhere. So it's like, I don't need
nobody's
it.
That's why nobody's using yeah. it. Right.
I can't keep filling up if I'm not going anywhere. So.
Well, fill up so you can go find hand sanitizer.
Yeah, right.
Let us know where you found hand sanitizer, and you can email us at brightsidechat@gmail.com. See how it worked out.
Maybe it'll still be there.
Check out all the great podcasts at nerdylegion.com. They'll be having conversations just like this because content is getting scarce.
Yeah, I don't know what we're going to talk about next week if we don't have comics or TV shows to watch. So,
we'll have comics.
Might not.
We can always. No, but we could read something.
Well, yeah.
I
guess we could always read
something.
Comics but...
here. Yeah, exactly. John, you have a store full of comics.
New comics. New comics is what I'm talking
about. Oh, no, but hey, we'll find something to talk about when we hang out. Got to keep them coming back, John. And John, what would we like people to do on all the great podcast platforms out there?
Rate, review, and subscribe.
Nice. You answered that like... Is this right?
No, it's like, it's my standard canned response because I know you're going to ask me.
Oh, okay. All right. We don't know what we'll be doing next week. Oh, actually, you do know what's coming out, what's supposed to be coming out on Wednesday. We have Bounty Hunter.
Yeah. Road to Empire, the Kree-Skrull War, Bounty Hunters number 2, and Giant Size X-Men Nightcrawler.
Oh, okay.
Are the big ones.
Alrighty, we've got that. I don't know what we'll be doing next Monday yet. What do we have planned? I have no idea.
I don't either.
I don't know. Let's get through this week, and we will see.
All right.
Have a great week, everybody. We will see you on Thursday.
Take care.
Stay safe.
Yep.
Hey, Fred, that whole thing where he's like, oh, okay.
Yeah, like I said, I was definitely, well, you can cut this out because I don't know what the hell I'm going to say. write that down.
I don't have to write it down because I don't have to write anything down. When I'm editing, I go, this ain't good.
No, but you mentioned how he hadn't seen.
Thanks for listening to the Bright Side Chat. We have a few sponsors who we'd like to mention. Arkham Comics and Games of Pearland, Texas. You can find them at arkhamcomicsandgames.com, one word. A. Pennyworth's Comics and Collectibles in Matthews, North Carolina. You can find them at apennyworthscomics.com. Apothesis Comics and Lounge in St. Louis, Missouri. You can find them at apothesiscomicsstl.com. Friendly Neighborhood Comics of Bellingham, Mass. You can find them at friendlycomics.com. Legends Comics and Games of Littleton, Mass. You can find them at legendscomics.com, comics with an X. And also Rubber Chicken Comics of Bellingham, Mass. And you can find them at rubberchickencomics.com. So what's cool is all of our sponsors have agreed to give our listeners a 10% discount on any comics we talk about in our podcast. So if you hear it in our podcast, just go into any of the stores that we've mentioned and tell them you listened to the Bright Side Chat and you heard about this comic there, and they will give you a 10% discount on any of those books. Hopefully you guys can take advantage of that, and thank you to all of our sponsors.
This has been a Hey Fred production with theme music by Jeff Bernhardt and Throne Vault Productions.